I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Sir Geoffrey Donaldson and his wife Lady Eleanor Donaldson have appeared at Newry Magistrates Court to face historical sex charges. Geoffrey Donaldson was escorted into the court by the PSNI amid chaotic scenes.
Really chaotic scenes. It was almost a free-for-all, and members of the public and the press both crowding in around at the same time, which made it very, very difficult for officers to deal with.
It's emerged the sex charges facing the ex-DUP leader span a period of more than 20 years.
Those charges all relate to two complainants, and they're alleged to have occurred between January 1st, 1985 and the September 31st, 1991, while the other alleged offence is said to have occurred between January 1st, 1998 and December 31st, 2004.
I'm joined by Liam Tunney and Alison Morris, who were both in court. Liam, I'll start with you. Could you set out the charges? Now, we had some indication of the charges, but this is these are the charges now formally put to Geoffrey Donaldson and his wife, Eleanor Donaldson. Can you tell us what they are?
Geoffrey Donaldson faces 11 charges. There's one count of rape, one count of gross indecency, and 9 counts of indecent assault. Those charges all relate to two complainants, and they're alleged to have occurred between January 1st, 1985 and the September 31st, 1991, as laid out in the charge sheet. His wife co-accused Lady Eleanor Donaldson. She was charged with aiding and abetting rape and indecent assault, as well as 2 counts of cruelty to a person under the age of 16. Those aiding and abetting charges relate to alleged incidents between January 1st, 1985 and December 31st, 1991, as well as a specific count of the charge on January 1st, 1985. One cruelty charge is alleged to have occurred between January 1st, 1985 and December 31st, 1991, while the other alleged offence is said to have occurred between January 1st, 1998 and December 31st, 2004. And that's what brings the time period up to 2004.
Liam, this is an initial appearance. There is no pleading at this stage, but did Sir Geoffrey Donaldson and Eleanor Donaldson, did they say anything in court?
They did. They came into the court, and they were in before the judge had arrived, and there was a long period of kind of silence where they were sitting facing the court before the judge arrived. When the charges were put to them, as is normal, they were asked to confirm their name and their date of birth, which they did, and that they understood the charges, and that was all really the opportunity they would have to say at this point. In any case, their counsel then made an application to vary the bail conditions to allow contact between the two defendants, whereas before, up until now, after their arrest on March 28th, the conditions were that there was to be no contact between them. So that has now been varied by the court, and they are now permitted to have contact between them. But in terms of what they said or what opportunity they had to speak, it was limited only to confirming their name and date of birth and that they understood the charges.
Alison, that's completely normal.
Yeah, that's entirely normal for a first appearance in a case like this. So the magistrates, for people who don't know, you appear first in the lower court, then the magistrates' court. You know, you'll maybe have 2 or 3 appearances there before then it is referred then up to the higher court, to the Crown Court, where this case would have to be heard because of the seriousness of the allegations. So in the magistrates' court, a lot of this is very preliminary, it's very procedural. It's not, I suppose, what people expect when they're, you know, their experience of courts is maybe watching television programmes or whatever. But yeah, that would be quite normal. All that happens at this stage is that a police officer connects the two accused with the charges. And as I said, there was a period where there was they were able to make an application to have a variation of their bail, which was expected anyway.
We do understand, they haven't spoken to the media, not directly anyway, but we do understand that they are strenuously contesting the allegations against them. They strongly deny the allegations against them. How do we know that?
Well, we know that through people have spoken to representatives of their legal representatives, and they have indicated that both intend to plead not guilty. So we were aware of that. But also we also know that when Geoffrey Donaldson resigned from the DUP on that Good Friday, that extraordinary day, his resignation statement also said that he would be strenuously denying these charges. So we know that from that DUP resignation letter, but we also know it through people's contacts with, I suppose, those who are representing legally, both Geoffrey Donaldson and his wife.
Liam, how did Geoffrey Donaldson and his wife Eleanor appear in the court?
They sat in the dock. They did sit in the dock at the same time. I don't know if we could say together. There were security officers in between them. Eleanor Donaldson appeared to, you know, speak with the officers. She seemed maybe a bit relaxed in that regard, but Geoffrey Donaldson sat initially staring directly ahead. As he entered the court, he sat down and just stared directly at where the judge would appear from. As then that prolonged period of kind of waiting went on, where you had a packed court, one of the clerks made an announcement that it was about to start, and then there was this period of silence in between where Donaldson sat with his arms folded, staring straight ahead with the occasional glance around the court. As you would kind of expect, they both were very uneasy to be in that position, and they just had a... Maybe Donaldson had a slightly different approach where he stared at a point in the distance and didn't really, you know, avert his gaze.
So Liam was in the press benches. It's quite a small court. Now, court is a tiny little courtroom. And Liam was with, obviously, the other members of the press. I sat in the public gallery, which meant that I was fairly close to where the two defendants were sitting. As Liam said, there was two prison custody officers sat in between them, in the chairs in between them. So you'd had Geoffrey Donaldson, a custody officer, his wife, a custody officer. He appeared much more relaxed than her. She was very nervous, and I could actually hear what she was saying to the custody officer, whereas maybe you couldn't hear that from the press benches. And she was basically asked him what would happen when the judge came out, and the custody officer replied to her and just say, you know, we'll stand up and, you know, when the judge comes out. And he was basically talking to her about that. He appeared much more relaxed and looked much more relaxed for a man facing such serious allegations. He did appear to be a lot more relaxed. And what struck me is that the people who were sitting in the press benches with Liam, you know, people like Vincent Kearney, you know, David Blevins, Julian O'Neill, these are people who would have interviewed Geoffrey Donaldson dozens of times over the years in his role as DUP leader, and especially in recent months coming up to those talks in the Restoration. And here, you know, we all were sitting, you know, to report on a criminal case. It was quite an extraordinary turn of events, you know, and you have a good sort of view because it is such a small court, and as Liam will testify to this, it's such a small court, you can see everything that's going on. It was a very busy court. It was a very busy court list today. There was over 90 people on the court list. So an incredibly busy list, a lot of solicitors around, a lot of prosecution staff around, a lot of court clerks, a lot of security staff, and also the public gallery was completely full. There's only maybe about 18 or 20 people can sit in the public gallery, but they weren't people who were there waiting on cases who were up in court or who maybe were with someone who were up in court. There were literally people who showed up to watch Geoffrey Donaldson and tried to get in first to get seats in the public gallery to watch that.
The bail conditions have been relaxed. They can be in contact with each other now. Was there any indication of any contact between them in the court? Did they interact at all?
No, at one stage he nodded towards her, but she didn't acknowledge him at all. Now, when I say this, they still appear to be very much a couple. Both have their wedding rings on. You know, it's not as if they're estranged. And they did ask for the bail conditions to be relaxed so that they could speak to each other again. Because remember, those very strict bail conditions were that they weren't to have any contact. And there was a reason for that. So, the police take a statement off the complainants, but then they have to go and interview other witnesses. And that was referred to in court because it did say the original list of prosecution witnesses who, when they'd been released on police bail, had been given a list of prosecution witnesses to say, you are not to contact these people. It was said in court by the prosecutor. That list has since grown. So the police have contacted other prosecution witnesses and taken statements. And so therefore, the two defendants had to be given the extended list of prosecution witnesses that they were now no longer allowed to contact. Obviously, that list has grown in those 28 days between the charge and now. they weren't allowed to contact each other, and that would have been to allow the police to gather any further prosecution witnesses they need to. That process is now concluded, we would assume, because they are now allowed to speak to each other. But they did not make any application to be allowed to live together. Geoffrey Donaldson will remain bailed to an address in London, and his wife, Mrs. Donaldson, will remain bailed to their home address in Dromore. So they're allowed to speak to each other now. And you can imagine that would have been our court system is so backlogged and runs so slowly, it's unsustainable to ask a husband and wife not to speak to each other for that length of time, possibly maybe a year before this would come to trial. But they are allowed to speak to each other. But interestingly, they didn't make any application to be allowed to live with each other again.
Liam, there were scenes, chaotic scenes, a melee, a scrum, some people have described it as, and the media, we in the media are as much responsible for that as anyone else, as Sir Geoffrey Donaldson tried to get into the court. He struggled even to get out of the court in the end.
Getting out of the court was particularly chaotic. At that stage, a group of members of the public had actually gathered at the other side of the road. So not only had you the press there, you had the gauntlet of police officers surrounding the door, so that the both Donaldsons would have to walk through that towards their transport. And that there's a media scrum around there. At the point where, first of all, Eleanor Donaldson emerged, there was a huge scrum around her. Members of the public came across the road and were heckling at her as she was trying to get into the car. There also appeared to be confusion about where the cars were pulling up. It didn't appear to be particularly well planned. The initial car first arrived at the other side of the road and had to turn, which then put everybody on notice that this was happening now and maybe caused things to escalate. It was then after that Geoffrey Donaldson emerged from the court, and you had a similar kind of scrum of people moving across the road towards him, surrounding him, so much so that the car that was meant to collect him could not get up the road, and the police had to bring Donaldson back inside the court to allow the road to be cleared so that the car could get close enough for him to get out. So there then was a second scrum when he emerged for the second time and finally made it into the car and took off up New Street. Really chaotic scenes. It just appeared that it was almost a free-for-all, and you had members of the public and the press both crowding in around at the same time, which made it very, very difficult for officers to deal with.
It seemed to me that it wasn't a very well thought out policing operation. You know, I'm not a cop, far be it to me to tell police how to do their job, but it could have been predicted that, given the high profile nature of this case, that there would have been a big public interest in it. And we had people who were shouting abuse and who were actually banging on the windows of the cars that came to pick them up. I mean, had someone actually wanted to do Geoffrey Donaldson any harm, they could have quite easily got to him, because the police operation just wasn't sufficient to hold members of the public, some of whom were being, you know, quite aggressive and shouting things that, you know, couldn't be repeated. In my humble opinion, it would have taken 5 or 10 minutes just to close that road off at each side and get them out and get them into the car and get them away and then open the road again. But I mean, far be it from me to tell the police how to do their job. But yeah, coming in wasn't so bad. There wasn't that many members of the public there on the way in. But coming back out again, you know, word had clearly spread. And, you know, at this stage, probably maybe 40, 50 people were standing across the road waiting. And people on, you know, mobility scooters. Someone was holding a very small baby bouncing around. I mean, this became, you know, the place to go to watch what was happening. And as Liam said, they brought Geoffrey Donaldson out. They couldn't get him into the car. They had to bring him back in again. And then police formed a line and they managed to get him out and get him in the second time. But there was a lot of pushing and shoving around. And there was quite a young sort of cop behind me, and I could hear him telling one of the more senior ones that someone had spat all over the top of him during that sort of pushing and shoving that went on. So it seemed to be, you know, incredibly chaotic considering, I mean, this has been, we've known for 4 weeks that Geoffrey Donaldson was going to appear in court in Uri today. Surely they had, you know, more time to prepare for, you know, a proper sort of police and response. But saying that, you know, apart from a few pushes and shoves and around the place, no one was seriously hurt. The two of them have now gone, and they don't have to, I'm sure the cops are glad to hear that they don't have to appear again in person until at a much later stage. So any of the other magistrates court mentions of this, the two of them have been excused from appearing in person, so we'll not have those kind of policing operations again for any of the next appearances.
Alison Morris, Liam Tunney, thank you very much.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.